You're listening to Fakeologist Audio, a periodic audio where I explore the world of media fakery. You can find my blog at fakeologist.com, where you'll find all the links to the live stream and audio archives. You will also find links to my sublogs, forums, email, PayPal, Twitter, and YouTube. We now use Discord for all our interactive audio and text. To join in on any live conversation, go to our main page and connect to the Discord server on the right, or visit bit.ly/fakechat. Now, here's your host, the Fakeologist, Avarado. Hi, everybody. It's Sunday, October 8th, year of our Lord 2017. And I'm in the live stream here with Folius Hattius and Patrick, both leading researchers in fakeology based in Sweden. And today, they're going to interview me, fakeologist, and we're going to take this recording, of course, pass it on to them, and they can chop it up and do what they want with it and make their own podcast. That is the plan. So I'm going to just sit back, kick back, and answer questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Abratu, to join us on this interview. And as I've told you in previous podcasts, I'm a great fan of your site, fakeologist.com. And it has been a great part of my awakening through the about the media fakery in the world. And it's a little club since almost all other truth seeker sites are not getting all the way, I think. And I think it would be good if you can start to tell us about a little bit about your awakening and why you started this blog and so on.
Well, it started in 2012 for me, and in 2012 there was a big media story about how the IRS, which is the Internal Revenue Service, which is a private corporation based in Puerto Rico, I believe, strangely enough, a U.S. colony, they were calling all Americans worldwide to file an income tax return, regardless of whether or not they owed tax. And I am a Canadian and an American citizen, and I had never filled out any tax forms because Canada and the United States have a tax treaty where any tax we pay in Canada as Americans or Canadians is 100% equivalent to whatever the IRS in the United States would charge. Now, normally it doesn't matter because if you're in Canada, you pay Canadian income tax. And if you're in the United States, you pay American income tax. Simple. But the IRS, I guess, was trying to track down tax evaders, of which I am not one of. And they didn't care where you were or what you were doing. They just wanted their piece of the pie. And to make sure they're getting their piece of the pie, they wanted you to file an income tax return, no matter where you lived, no matter where you got your income. If you're an American, fill out a tax return. And at the time, I'm a rule follower, of course, fully indoctrinated and compliant slave in the system. So I thought, well, what is this? What is going on here? And our top minister of finance, he got involved and he became involved in the story, which I thought added weight to the situation. I thought, wow, if he's talking about this, maybe I better pay attention. And he was saying, listen, guys, back off. Canadians, we have a special relationship. Stop bothering Americans living in Canada. Just leave us alone. We're not who you're after. If you're after other evaders that live in warm climates or something, but there's none of them are here. Anyway, I looked into it and I started digging into the IRS because I was fully prepared to start being compliant. Of course, it would cost me a lot of money because I'd have to hire somebody to do it because I usually don't do my own tax returns. So I really didn't want to do it because I didn't want to spend more money for nothing, literally nothing. There's no, to this day, as I said earlier, I not owe any taxes in the United States because we have the tax treaty, which means everything I pay up here is valid there and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, just the act of digging into the story led me into, I believe, someone like Alex Jones. A website like Alex Jones was a gatekeeper for truth because he talks a lot about the IRS. And then I saw a video on 9/11. And 9/11 at that point was already 11 years old. And I was curious as to really why the investigation into 9/11 was moving along so slowly. 11 years later, you figured, come on, if the entire most powerful nation, quote unquote, in the world is on the case, surely they must have gotten a little closer to solving this puppy, this biggest crime of the millennium. So I thought, what is going on anyway? So then I started stumbling upon videos such as Loose Change, and there was another video called In Plain Sight. Plain as in a play on words. Plain is a, can be spelled many ways in English. It's all a homonym, which means the words are spelled differently and mean differently, but they sound the same. And I looked at them and I thought, oh boy, this is quite a mess. All these people are saying different things and they're not really getting to the bottom of it. So I just kept digging and digging and forgot all my tax troubles and got lost in this 9/11 vortex or black hole or rabbit hole, as we call it. And I just started watching the videos, and Loose Change did most to get me going on, really, this is a mess and nobody seems to know what's going on. And I think I can't remember if I had seen Fahrenheit 9/11, which is a Michael Moore quote unquote documentary. And I can't remember if that came before 2012 for my viewing. Probably did. But I remember that really didn't do much. That just illustrated that the administration's incompetent and therefore they're never going to get to the bottom of it either. Really, just this one little kick in the pants that I got over official government business was what got me going into looking really, and it really hasn't stopped since, the investigation for me.
Yeah,
and here I am today, still digging, yeah. digging. But it's it's always one little thing that gets people going.
Yeah.
This is everybody's story.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting, Ab. I just want to say, Patrick here, and I'm together with Martin here, and we're doing this show in Swedish called Radio Cubono. And we have been doing a few episodes, and we have been interviewing a person called Simon Schack, who's done a lot of investigation into 9/11 story and also the space and new cokes. And he's done his most known work is the movie September Clues. And this is a special episode we're doing in English and talking with you, Ab, and it's great to have you here hear about the journey you have done. And you have a show where you have several hundred episodes now called Fakeologists Radio, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's what... So then I started I have a website called fakeologist.com, of course, as you just mentioned. Yeah. And when I started looking into the whole event, yeah, by the way, if you want to go to fakeologist.com, go click on the top links. We have a lot of links all over the place. I'm not sure how familiar people are these days with websites since they think the internet is YouTube and Facebook. But if you go to my website, which, again, you better go there fast because I don't want to be a scaremonger, but the way the internet is probably going to change is that they're going to start regulating websites. And what they're going to do is they're going to make you go through hoops to get your website seen by everybody. They can't probably stop you from connecting to the internet, but they can regulate the internet and its websites to death. So the average person who's not technologically savvy will probably have a hard time finding your website if it's not approved. And they're going to use all kinds of security and safety excuses. And I would guess the average browser will probably require way too many clicks to find your website in the future if you're not approved. So just go to my website now while you can. Well, you can find it if you're just an average user. And on the top, there's something called Rabbit Trails. It might be under About, but there's a Rabbit Trails, which really gives my complete pathway. But suffice it to say, I've always been a huge radiophile because I am in my vehicle, a vehicle, and vehicles are where most people listen to their audio because you can't really watch TV while you're driving. But you can listen. And I used to listen to many big talk shows in North America. And one of them was the Howard Stern Show, which is the biggest radio show ever in North America. And I heard some of the people on his show, such as Jesse Ventura, who real name is Yano something or other. And he's the former governor of Minnesota. And he was on the Howard Stern Show. And he started talking about 9/11. And I was pretty interested at this point because now I'm a 9/11 researcher. So I was listening carefully because he's a governor and wouldn't he, and he's speaking frankly, he's sort of a guy on the outside and he sounds like he's going after the truth because he's an outsider. He's an old wrestler. He doesn't give a care about what other people think about him. He's going to tell us the truth. That's what I thought. So I listened to him intently, and after he left me hanging pretty badly, I started looking on the internet for other audios that he was involved with, and lo and behold, I come right back to Alex Jones, who was busy interviewing this guy. And one thing about Alex Jones and his guests, he never, ever gets to the conclusion. He always says, come back and we'll tell you what's going to happen. We'll tell you the truth. He always has you coming back. You never get it. And you are just left hanging show after show after segment after segment after commercial. You never get the goods. And it's fascinating how somebody can keep leading you on and baiting you like a donkey chasing a carrot attached to a stick in front of his head. You can never get the carrot. You just keep chasing it because it's always in front of you. And that's what I always thought listening to that guy's radio show. I said, we're never getting anywhere. We're either going in circles or we're not reaching the destination. So that was a frustration. So then I thought, well, now that I know what's really happened with 9/11, because I got to a movie called September Clues, which was done by Simon Shack, and it was an odd documentary because there was no narration. It was only video with some pretty good music and some text on the screen, but there was no narration, so they didn't really tell you what was happening or what they were concluding. They were just saying, here. Here's some video that doesn't work. Here's some text showing you what we're showing you on the video. And here's some good music to get you in the mood to think. And so therefore, I thought, well, who did this? And I'm pretty sure I know what they're saying. But what else can they tell me about it? Because, of course, we like to be told directly what's going on. Please give me the summary. So I found a website called cluesform.info, which is a bulletin board forum type service. And I read and read and read. And then I figured out who the principals were behind the site. And I contacted them. And Simon and Hoy Poloy, both eventually I got talking to them. And that really sealed it for me. I said, well, I think I've just reached the end of the rainbow. And now I have a good feeling on what exactly happened on 9/11, and I was shocked, just shocked, that you could fool the entire world and nobody does anything about it, and nobody really seems to be saying anything about it. And here it is in plain sight. Here's the answer. So I decided to start a little radio broadcast on some software I found on the internet where you could pretty much host it yourself, be a radio host yourself. So I decided I'll play radio host, have a little fun at it, and just put out my little sign and see if anyone comes by and wants to talk about what I called hoax recovery. Because I was recovering from a hoax. I just wanted to see if anyone else was in the same situation. And of course, there were a few, not many. And we just started talking. And then I decided to keep it going with my own software, my own setup. And that's what I did. So I just kept going and doing some interviews and talking with people that I find interesting, most of whom are interested in the 9/11 event. Sometimes I talk with people that aren't really involved in fakeology, but I often find some kind of small link, and then I often like to crowbar my views on fakery and hoaxery and present it to the audience. And yeah. I've been going since 2012 all the way to 2017. It was about 5 years. And on we go. It's still interesting to me. And yeah. Here I am talking to you.
Yeah, more people are coming along and seeing what you have seen.
Yeah.
How many shows have you done now, Ab?
Well, I just finished posting once what I call FAK179. And if anyone wants to listen to it, I recently reformatted my phone, so I blew away all my settings. So now I had to go rebuild my database. If you want to go to iTunes or any Android app, I recommend BeyondPod, BeyondPod. You could just search for Fakeologist, and you will find two different feeds. One for the main show, FAK179 is what we're up to. I just recently talked with a radio personality called Palebo of Denmark. And I have another feed called Fakeologist Audio Chats, which is a new innovation that I came up with, where anyone can come to an audio server. In this case, we use Discord. You can log in. You can get verified to make sure you are who you say you are to an extent. And then you can talk about fakeology-related information, which is what we're doing right now, and broadcast live to the entire world. And that has been going strong as well, because most people are interested in new voices, because the old voices tend to just repeat, which is fine, but everyone likes to hear new people. So I'm up to what I call FAC, Fakeologist Audio Chat, I believe 370 episodes, some of which, including yesterday's, are over 9 hours long of various people talking about fakeologist-related material. So we've got a lot of material out there, and it's all free. Mm-hmm. All free for your perusal, and of course, if you want to make a small donation to show your support and then keep encouraging, you're welcome to do so.
Yeah. How do you make it go around, so to speak, Ab? I mean, you are putting a lot of time into this.
Any other hobbies, really, other than raising a family, making a living. And I've always been a media junkie. Instead of reading the paper and just gobbling it all up and getting all upset and depressed, I read the paper and say, is there any way this is a real story? And if not, my immediate view is it's not a real story in the sense that they're fabricating it to some extent or to a total extent. And I look for clues. And it's a hobby, really. It's not I don't do it for money. I don't mind a donation here and there, but I don't think I could make a living off it. Not a living that I could eat well anyway. But I just do it mainly as a hobby. And because they're producing an endless amount of material for us to consume in our daily lives, basically you never run out of stuff to talk about. And the only thing that's really changing is the degree of sophistication of the simulation. That's getting better and better. And there will be a time, and it might even be right now, where we cannot tell the difference between reality and Hollywood produced media sold as true, which is, you could either look at it as scary, depressing, or just look at it as, well, you just have to get better at trying to figure out what's real.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because we are at the stage now where it's not possible to distinguish computer generated imagery and real.
Well, I wouldn't really say computer. People have to be really careful with that word, computer generated imagery or CGI, because we have a member. I'll give a hat tip shout out to Zal, Z-A-L, and he is a CGI game creator or programmer. And he's telling me the state of CGI, where you can actually use computer imagery to look real, is easy to detect. So we have to distinguish between video editing and splicing a video and layering a video and completely fabricated from a computer imagery. They're totally different things. Now, you use a computer to paste together video, but to actually create an image from bits and bytes still isn't there yet. And if you want to know the best, you want to know the examples of CGI, you just look at the latest Hollywood movie and you can tell what, usually they create a fictitious character that looks fictitious, doesn't purport to be a human, and you can see how they do it. And it's not quite human like yet. No. So we have to be careful with the term CGI. But the computer, of course, is used to manipulate video and layer. And we know that studios and news uses layering and green screen, where they have a layer of scenery in the background, and in the foreground they have another layer and they merge the two. But that's not CGI.
No. No, that's good points, Abs. And but I mean, what they are good at is having CGI assisting in the fake imagery now, to a point where it's very hard to see if it's fabricated imagery, if it's a movie or it's a real event. But I mean, one thing I think about, it's can be good to do if you want to actually confirm that many of the things that have been portrayed as real, like the moon landings or whatever, is go back and look at those movies or that imagery from back in the 60s and 70s, because they didn't have this technology then, but they were still doing it. And it's easier for an untrained eye to conclude that those images are fake, but it's much harder today when they have all this much more advanced technology to do it with. So, and I'm a great fan of your show, Ab, as I said, and your Fakeologist site. One thing I've noted, however, is that at least to me here in Sweden, it's quite slow. It could get load times and such, but and maybe that's intentional, you know. I don't know. Have you heard?
It's on a shared. Yeah, I've heard that it's on a shared server. I don't pay for the highest speed. Any website has to be paid, hosted somewhere.
Yeah.
And it is pretty large, and it's on a shared server, which means other websites are on it, and I don't know.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's not on its own server, but it serves the purpose. I noticed the other thing, of course, is people use whatever technology is fast and convenient. I've noticed that since I've discovered this Discord server that we're currently talking on, people like to use that because it's less formal. They can just throw a link here and there in, and they're more apt to use that because people just always find the easiest route to whatever they're doing. So it's almost made their website less important because they're on this audio text chat server. And therefore, it's kind of interesting how some users of this Discord server don't even know their website. They just know Fakeologist being this Discord server. So it's put more money or invest into a higher level of connection may not be worthwhile. No. But I have heard that complaint. I do take it seriously, and I will look into maybe doing something to make it a little faster, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a big problem, but I was just thinking, you know, when you talked about there or planning on making a more controlled and gated internet, maybe they were intentionally slowing down things like this, but that's not, we're not there yet, luckily.
Well, so, the website does get DDoSed, which means that they'll send an army of computers to just try and load your pages, and that just jams the entranceway to it and makes it slow that way or impossible to reach. But for the most part, I don't have any real problems. But the website is not connected at the highest expense right now. It's just on a shared server in Florida, and that's how it works. It's not a big issue for most people, because personally, I don't even go to the website or other websites. I use what's called an RSS reader, which is an aggregator that literally pulls a text feed from all the websites I visit. So I never even go to websites unless absolutely necessary. I'll get pardon me?
Yeah. Yeah. What websites do you have an RSS feed on?
I get all the media newspapers. They all have feeds usually.
Yeah.
Which they don't promote, because they'd rather you come to the website and look at all the adverts.
Yeah.
And most good websites have a feed somewhere. They're never easy to find. But if you go to Feedly.com, you can search. Usually you can search through Feedly.com and it'll search for you to see if they already have the feed in their database.
I thought we have done some previous shows in Radio Kibono. We have gone through 9/11 and Moon Hoax, ISS, satellites, and the nuclear bomb hoax. But then we thought we have heard you on your show talking or speculating a little bit about nuclear power, since it's much harder to break down this because you don't have this fake imagery to look at. You can see the power plant, but if you're convinced that nuclear bombs are not existent, then you start to wonder what the heck are they doing inside those plants then, and is it some kind of nuclear power that that can exist? I think could you develop your thoughts about that?
Yeah, can I just say something about that, Martin? That's true, Ab. And I heard you on another good podcast that I really like and follow, and it's called the Clues Chronicle. And I think it was in episode 10 where you had the most brilliant layout or speculation around nuclear power and how it could be a big hoax. I mean, we don't know. I mean, we have to be humble about that, because we don't have any we don't have much to analyze, imagery and such. But I think what's so good layout of how it could be done. So it would be great if you could say a few words about that, Ab.
Well, really, when I discovered that the entire world could be fooled about just about anything, including big major things like 9/11. One moment. Then I thought, well, if the entire world can be fooled about 9/11 or anything really big, then I basically went to my database and said, wait a minute, what else am I really frightful of? Since it seemed like the name of the game was scaring people, what else am I personally afraid of? Maybe not on a daily basis, but on any time I think about it, that I really stresses me out. That maybe might be a common theme often in the media. Well, if you go through your own list of things that besides taxes and going to work that you're afraid of. One of them was always on the top of my list was nuclear bombs. Because we're told they have a weapon that can destroy the planet if it gets into the wrong hands. And I thought, wait, what if that's a hoax? Because now, really, anything goes in my mind. Anything goes because we know now, or I know now, how easy it is to fool everybody. Well, I never would have thought that possible because I figured I'm okay. I'm pretty smart, but I know there's a large percentage of the population that's smarter than me. You know, they know how to build things and deconstruct things. So those people must know because they're so smart. They're just not telling us either because they don't want to talk to us or they might think we're too stupid to understand. So I figured, well, somebody would have said something or said there must be some dissenting views in the world on this. I just don't know where they are. But I just started looking into the great Google and the other search engines and typing in the word whatever I was afraid of and hoax. So I put new hoax in. And I found one small video that said this is the evidence, video evidence of nuclear bombs specifically. And he was showing that there are problems with the footage. And then he asked basic questions like, well, if this bomb is so deadly, why did the cameraman, how did he film it? And I said, yeah, that's a really good question. That's really a basic question. You don't need to know anything about how nuclear bombs work or how the atoms collide. Here's the basic question. They tell you this thing can kill you, and yet this guy filmed it. How'd he do that? Can we talk to that guy? And of course, there is no answer for it. And there I thought, uh-oh, what if this was a fake? What if it's fake? Same effect. Everyone's scared to death. You can't see it. You can't taste it, touch it. You can't sense it with any of your God-given five senses, six senses if you include balance. And therefore, I thought, wow, how deep does this go? Where is the genesis of the nuclear bomb? Where does it start? Who is involved? Who are the players? And then when you start digging, you realize that scientists really aren't scientists. They're what I call lieintists, L-I-E. They lie. And really, they created a myth, and the myth was just propagated by only a small number of people, and then a larger number of people believed it because they couldn't understand it anyway, and then on and on it goes, and it just never gets questioned after tens or hundreds of years. And that is amazing to me. I thought, yeah, I can see how that can happen. I see how 9/11 can happen. I can see it. And then that's really how I decided. I just started deconstructing the whole idea of nuclear science and the whole basis of this lie. Where does it start? And when you go down to the kernel, the core of the lie, you realize that it's just basic alchemy, which is just fake science. And alchemy means, in its basis terms, turning lead into gold. If you want to just boil it down, man has always wanted to turn lead into gold. Why? Because we always said gold was rare, therefore, gold is valuable. So if we could just turn lead, which is widespread into gold, we'd all be rich. But of course, even the idea of turning something plentiful into something valuable is actually incorrect. Because if we have too much of something, it's never going to be valuable. But anyway, yeah. Just the idea of transmuting or changing one thing into another is just magic. It's fairy tale. Yeah. It's fantasy. So that is the basis of nuclear.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thought there, because I mean, when you talked about alchemy, for what are they doing? Well, they are selling humongous lies to us. They are turning lies into gold, so to speak, or to.
Well, the gold in this case is just money, because they extract probably very large amounts of money out of people, including mainly from government. Because government is this third party that we all hate, but we don't realize it is us. We give it the power, we give it the money, and it's just us. We are government, and we let it get taken over by psychopaths that they just get in there to take the money. They're not there to help. But anyway, I thought if nuclear weapons are fake. What about nuclear power? Because this is another, what I call, contradiction. We're told that nuclear power is an energy that is everything we ever wanted. It's clean, it's plentiful, it has no side effects. We only have this teensy-weensy little problem that once the fuel is spent, once it loses its radioactivity, then we don't know what to do with it. We can't dispose of it. So they create a huge lie, and then they have this little small contradiction where they say, well, it's the most wonderful thing that'll free the whole world up with plentiful free energy, yet it's quite dangerous, and you have to be super advanced to handle it, to understand it, and we have to figure out how to dispose of the small amount of material that never will lose its dangerous state.
Yeah, that's right, Ab. And we have to build these extremely expensive caves underneath the Earth, where we have to store this for thousands of years. And that, of course, costs a lot of money to do that. It's in Sweden, it's called slutförvaring, the final storage of the stuff.
Right. But the main thing that costs all the money are the plants, because only nuclear physicists, and physicist is a code word for magician to me, and only those people can work on the plants. And because only a few people in the whole world are able to achieve this magical status of nuclear physicist, they cost millions of dollars to consult. And literally, we need to bring them in to do the final assembly of these concrete plants that are just lights and eyesores, really. And these plants cost not millions, but billions with a B, dollars to assemble and to run and maintain, to refurbish. Money never stops to keep these things going when all they are, they even admit it, they're just water boiling facilities that use 100-year-old technology, or maybe 150-year-old technology, of steam, where we boil water, we turn turbines that have magnets on them to create a magnetic field that creates electricity. That's all they are. They're boiling water facilities. Now, the only magic that's involved in these plants that you can't question or see are, how do they boil the water? Where do they get the energy to boil the water? Do they burn anything? No, they have what are called magic rods. They call them fuel rods, and they are bundled together. A bundle is a faggot, by the way. And they bundle them together in a Masonic or some kind of honeycomb shape. And once they're together, they start reacting or giving off radioactivity, which heats the water. But it's this magic bundle that has all the alchemy going on in it. Only a few people can handle or work with this. It's literally like from comic books, where they have just this magic rock, or just this magic object that has this endless energy, which is toxic, we're told, or dangerous, but it can boil water. That's all it is. That's all they report. And they build these billion-dollar facilities to boil water and use ancient, or not ancient, but industrial-era technology called steam to generate electricity.
Yeah.
And really, there's no way to question the kernel of lie, because it's only a small part of the whole plant that's the lie. Everything else is there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the part that you can't really see or question, which is the magic black rods or faggots.
Yeah.
Bundles of sticks. Ironically, the bundle represents the fasci, which is the power symbolism of the Roman Empire.
Yeah, I think it really makes a lot of sense. I think it's a very good reasoning you have there. And I mean, I think the last episode, the one before, we had at Radio Kibono, we had an episode about nuclear hoax. And that's pretty, I mean, there we have very conclusive evidence because of the imagery and the horrible propaganda movies from the 60s that makes it pretty obvious that this is not real things, because it's movie effects from the 60s. But I mean, in concerns of the suspected or the atom hoax, we have less to go on, but I think it makes a lot of sense because the nuclear energy or the nuclear science, as you described it, I mean, that was invented also in the 40s along with the atom bomb, and that was is what is used now for these nuclear power plants. And as Simon pointed out, if you say falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus, that is one lie, everything lie. So I think this makes a lot of sense, and it's very interesting. And
well, the problem is only a small part of the whole thing is a lie.
Yeah.
And everything else is real. The plants are real. They really do boil water. The question is, are they really boiling the water, or do they act as a, and you can, I only speculate because it's fun too. Is the electricity really going in or coming out of the plant? Do they really boil much? Because I see plants all the time and the water is rarely boiling. In other words, I don't usually see, if you have any kind of steam engine, you have to create excess steam. You have enough steam to turn the turbines, and the rest of the steam has to blow out the top.
Yeah.
That's just the way steam works. You see a steam engine, it's chugging along. It has to create excess steam to make the thing move, and then the rest blows out the top. But we have power plants near to where I live, and rarely do I see any steam coming out of them. Yet we're told that they produce, where I live, more than half the power at all times. They're what's called the base power. So where I live, the power, they say half our power comes from those plants. Yet they're never steaming. And I see them every day. Rarely do I see steam coming out of them. So what are they doing? Don't tell me they're capturing all the steam, because that's not how engines work.
No, that's interesting. And I think you said a very good thing also on I think it was about that, that Clues Chronicle episode 10 I listened to, and you said, Ab, that if you're going to lie about something like these guys are doing, you should always lie about something we cannot verify. We cannot see the atoms. We cannot go up into space and see what's happening there. So those are perfect areas to lie about.
Yes. Anything you can't sense. You can't see electricity. You can sense it if you touch a live wire, but that doesn't tell you which way it's going, if it's coming or going, because actually alternating current, that's all it does. It comes and goes. It goes one way and reverses. It goes back the other. And it's that's another strange anomaly about how electricity works that most people can't wrap their head around, really. It's very, very odd. Electricity may as well be magic to most people. It's very, very, very poorly understood.
Yeah.
But my final point with nuclear energy is that if it could save the world, it would be widespread and used everywhere. But it's not. And they create stories to get rid of it because they know if it's ever figured out or if they want to put the lie to rest before too many people get too smart, which may or may not ever happen, then they'll create what's called an exit strategy to phase it out and to eliminate it completely from history and replace it with something else. And the idea that they're trying other very unstable and unreliable forms of energy, like wind and solar, just proves that they really have no idea other than burning stuff how to generate power. Again, if nuclear was so wonderful, then it would be everywhere, and we wouldn't be talking about any alternative energy, because we wouldn't need them.
Yeah. But you kind of wonder, where do all the power come from then, if it doesn't come from nuclear power? Where is the power source for?
Well, you don't have to wonder. In Ontario, where I live, our power company started with hydro. That's why we call the power company Hydro, Ontario Hydro, which is moving water. Water goes from one level to another, and when it travels down, you can turn things. And that's where our power comes from. And any water never stops moving. It doesn't stop in the morning, at night. It slows down, I guess, in the winter, but if it's a big enough source, then even super cold temperatures don't stop it. And that's where most of our power comes from. The rest comes from burning stuff and boiling water. That's it. It's not hard. We know fire. Fire is real. You know, when they discovered fire way back and whenever they did, that changed everything.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And now I'm speculating again, but I think one is allowed to speculate around things like this. But I thought came up that in Sweden we also have a lot of hydro plants. I guess you have in Canada as well, because you have a lot of water.
Yeah. We have a lot of water here.
Yeah,
sure.
But what I was thinking is that is it the countries that have a lot of hydropower that also have nuclear power plants?
Sure. Why do we need them, right?
And that would make sense, because if the water storages get overfilled, you need to burn away the, you know, to, or may, now you can just let it out on the side. You don't have to. I was just thinking if the nuclear power plants is used like some kind of capacitor or to level out the electricity, so then it would make sense that it's countries with a lot of water power that also have nuclear power plants. But yeah, I'm just speculating now. But yeah, so. Martin, shall we move on or?
Yeah, so we're in on the nuclear thing. Another scare factor is nuclear submarines. If you could speculate a little bit about the appearance of nuclear submarines, and if you can actually be so many people on a underwater vehicle for several months, as they tell us, without seeing the sun and those small areas, if it's even possible to go over the Atlantic in a submarine.
Yeah, that's another funny one, submarines, because I guess really got interested in submarines because of the nuclear aspect. Anytime that they use something I'm very suspicious of, and it draws the spotlight onto that subject. And we're told that submarines are generating nuclear power to power them. Before that, they just ran on plain old diesel, which, of course, is just burning stuff. And diesel's real, and you can burn it, and it makes engines turn. And once they introduce the nuclear aspect to submarines, then we have to question the whole idea of submarines. How they came about, how they work, and there's some video researchers such as called Jungle Surfer. He's asking questions about just the general layout and how do they actually work, and we're told they can even do things like launch intercontinental ballistic missiles, which are another suspicious thing. How could they do that from underwater? Because water is very resistant compared to air, and I'm not sure you could really angle or launch something from underwater without severe problems guiding it, because we know water is very dense, and that doesn't make sense either. And how could you explode things underwater? How does that work? How could you launch something from one side of the earth to the other and aim it and actually hit a target? I mean, all this stuff smells like science fiction. And the only proof we have of these things happening are video. And we've already decided and agreed upon after 9/11 that video can be manipulated to look real when it's fake. We all agree in the whole world about this because we all watch movies. And most of the time, we're looking at fake or invented or fictive material. So we all agree we can be fooled and we can let our mind tell us that it's believable, but we know that it's really fake. So submarines, how does nuclear power work on a submarine? How would it even work? Doesn't really make sense. And does it make sense that if it's so dangerous, we have people living right beside it, underwater? I mean, there's just so many questions about submarines. And my conclusion right now is that they are actually just props. They are scary vehicles that are built. The props, a prop is just something used in a Hollywood movie set that's made to look like something, but it isn't actually what it says it is. It's placeholder or representative. So we're told that these boats can go underwater and stealthily travel all over the ocean without detection or easy detection and sink ships. And of course the ones that use them the most were the Germans, because the Germans are the evil empire that we fought for most of the 20th century, and they were the biggest users of them. What if they were just simply inventions of British imagination to just keep the war business going for longer and get more ships built and sink old ships that needed to be replaced just for money? What if they are just another tool of deception and of fear? And Jungle Surfer was just really going through some of the schematics of these submarines and showing that even if we agree to what they say the layout is, it doesn't make sense. There's not enough room for 140 men to live and service those 140 men. And we're talking basic services, food and sanitation. And they never explain how any of that works. But they do show real boats floating along and going underwater and coming back up. The rest of the story is always filled in with Hollywood movies. Everything else is on a movie screen. Nothing else can be seen by us because we can't go underwater and watch a submarine launch an ICBM or a torpedo. We have to rely on video or Hollywood to show us that how it's done.
That's an interest of mine. How much did the Germans take part in the media fakery? And what were the Germans told by their own government at the time? I'm a little bit curious about that.
Well, listen, if we take nothing away from fakeology, it is this. That there is a war. There is a constant power struggle, and it's not even a struggle, between rich and poor. The real division in society is between the super rich and everybody else. The super rich want to stay super rich, and in order to do that, they have to keep everyone below them fighting with each other, being afraid of each other, and not realizing the biggest deception of all, which is the money system that keeps the super rich running everything and everyone else doing all the work to keep the system going. So everything that we see in the world, government versus the people, it's just rich. I'm talking uber rich versus everyone else. That's what everything can be boiled down to. The governments do not work for the people. They work for the super rich, the uber rich, the wealthy, the royalty, the dukes, the duchesses, the people that had the money in the first place. They never lost it. They just changed the subject. They just changed the structure a little bit. And everything we witnessed today, that's what we're talking about. It's just rich versus poor. It's not black versus white. India versus China, U.S. versus USSR, none of that. Because all the governments are controlled by the ultra elite. And we're not talking about Bill Gates or Carlos Slim. These people are just put there to represent the super rich. We're talking about people whose names that don't get advertised.
Mm. Yeah, very, very well put, Ab, and thank you so much for those speculations around submarines as well. I mean, I haven't thought about that much, but it's really makes a lot of sense. That, I mean, how could this vessel work in actuality? What one other thing I've would like to bring up is that when I became aware about this fakery and started to spend a lot of time of looking into it, and it was about one and a half year ago now, it was May last year that I became really aware about the 9/11 hoax and started investigating and bumped into a lot of other things like space and atom bombs and nuclear power. But one thing you pretty soon bump into is the question of the shape of the Earth. And that is something that is attached especially to movies investigating the space hoax. And since I was in a mode where I felt I had to question everything, I spent quite a lot of time in looking into this issue. But I found it very unbelievable and quite ludicrous. And I was really happy when I found a Clues Forum and that article that describes the flat Earth as a psychological operation called discredit by association. They want people to that looks into the space hoax and understand that it's a lie, that they want them to believe that the Earth is flat, because then if they promote these ideas to other people, they will find them very unbelievable, because most people don't think the Earth is flat, and I agree with that, and I think that, I mean, I have, as I said, looked into this a great deal, and you have the things with the horizon and such, and I don't find it plausible that the Earth shouldn't be round. But of course I cannot prove that. You cannot prove anything. But I find a lot, it's easier to disprove things. And I find a lot of evidence that the Earth cannot be flat. I find it like a very strange idea to promote. And also when you look into history, it's never been a discussion as I can see it of the shape. I mean, already in Greek times, they were in agreement with that the Earth was a ball, and you can even measure the size of that ball. But you have been investigating this a lot and have a lot of shows about it. And what are your thoughts around that now? Or could you say some words around that?
Well, I have a blog called flatearth.fakeologist.com, which I purposely segregated, because it's a very contentious topic, more contentious than most other topics. So I decided I'll just segregate the material, because some people do believe in the discredit by association. My mind, however, is not made up in any way. I will entertain all aspects still. Discredit by association is a good theory, but I'm not going to discount anything I read and throw it out based on that one theory alone. And there are many good people that I think are genuine and not counterintelligence agents trying to discredit the whole questioning of NASA. Because for me, there's no question that NASA is a gatekeeping space operation that steals children's imagination from speculating about anything beyond where they live. Whole solar system, the whole nature of the lights in the sky, the whole shape of the Earth, none of which I think has been properly investigated. And I am not convinced either way of any part of what we are told.
Are you still there?
One moment here.
seems like Ab dropped out, or did I drop out?
Oh, I can hear.
Yeah, sorry, I lost my setting there for a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I'm back. So I'm not convinced of any part of the flat Earth or the ball Earth. I am still open to speculation, and I am amazed that really nothing 3 years later, because this came onto the scene, I believe, in 2015 in a big way on the internet. So it's 2 years later, and I'm really still struggling with my own view, and therefore I leave it wide open for discussion, and I really don't think that anything needs to be shut down on this topic. I know I've made my decision on other things that are still controversial, but this one I'm staying open to. Yeah. And I'm not convinced either way.
Right.
And then, listening to the people that promote flat Earth, a lot of the times they'll mix flat Earth with just being skeptics of the ball. And the idea that we don't have a good image, or we've only had two images at all the time of the Earth, is very suspicious. Why is that? I haven't heard one good reason why. Therefore, my investigation is still wide open. Now, there's a lot of clowns involved in the flat Earth discussion, and there's a lot of people that I think are quite serious. And I'm just using my own discernment to figure out who's who. I don't. Yeah. The case is still open.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very good points, Ab. And I mean, you have your show, and that's your show, and you talk about things the way you want to talk about, but I'm pretty convinced about this discredit by association thing, and I also think I see it play out, and it was interesting because related to that, I have my old man. He's subscribing to a magazine. It's called Illustrated Science. I think they have the same thing, that magazine around the world. And last time I visited him, I found a letter from to the subscribers from Illustrated Science, where they actually brought up this issue about the flat Earth, and the way they argued it was that the writer expressed concern about so many people are thinking that the Earth is flat now. There are these flat Earth societies gaining members. Famous sports stars are starting to promote that the Earth is flat. And then the arguing started, and what they did to argue against the flat Earth was that they talked about the International Space Station and all the imagery we have from our space expeditions that, of course, shows that the Earth is a ball. So they used their fakery,
That's a big problem.
To argue against the flat Earth.
And that's a big problem. So you can throw that evidence right out the window. But what else do they have?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I mean, they're using their own lies to confirm this. So to me, it really plays out.
What else do they got? What else they got? Yeah, they don't have anything. No. There is nothing. The big picture of Earth from space was their big put it to rest. Argument. Okay. What else is there? And everything else can be explained and can work both ways, unfortunately. It can prove the ball and it can prove the pancake. That's the problem. That is the problem. I call it a stalemate right now.
Pardon?
I call it a stalemate. It's a draw.
Right now, this chess game is a draw. Yeah, but the point I saw here, or what I saw about that letter, was it really confirmed the way Simon expressed it as on Clues Forum as discredit by association, because that was exactly what they did there, to argue against the flat Earth with the NASA fakery, and they want to make people that investigate NASA and the space hoax to also start believing in the flat Earth theory. So,
Well, and, uh, I don't, I don't believe in anything. The only thing I believe in is investigation and keeping an open mind, and not so open that your brain falls out either. And I am not making any decisions. I'm just going to leave it open and just keep hearing arguments. And so far, nothing has convinced me other than the mainstream constantly saying the earth is round and spins in total defiance of all my senses. So when it's defying everything I can sense, I have a problem with it. And we are told not to trust our own senses all the time. And that keeps us off balance all the time. And I just don't subscribe to that. It's just, that is a deception technique. And again, if I know I'm being deceived, I'm very wary of anything I'm told. And right now, neither side is convincing at all to me of the shape of the earth and what we're living on.
Yeah. Good points. Let's keep our mind open, Sab, but not so so open that the mind falls out. Yeah, that's
I'm a little bit suspicious about that subject, because if you enter space hoax and similar search words in YouTube, the first that come up is they always ending it with by the way, the Earth is flat. And as you told before, that they are trying to change the internet so that you can't find the really good stuff. So what you find, the first thing they want you to find when you search about those things is flat earth related material. That's quite obvious to me, at least. But still, I say that you can look at this material because they dismantle NASA in quite a good way. But
well, you know, I know they're trying to link the two all the time, and they do have links. There's no doubt. There's links that can be used, but they can also be exclusive of each other. You can believe NASA's faking it, but you can also believe that the sun and the whole solar system work as we're told. You can believe all that. That's fine. They're not intrinsically linked at all.
No, that's an interesting thing as well.
I don't think they are linked. They can be linked, and I know they are linking them in a lot of ways, but you can keep them separate in your mind. Why not? I do.
Yeah.
I don't see the link all the time. The link is not always there. But I know they're lying, and I don't know why they're lying, because if I knew why they were lying, it would probably help solve the puzzle, you see. It would help solve the puzzle. And everything NASA promotes, I disagree with, because I don't see the proof. I just see the lies. So one of the big ones that I hear all the time is that we are insignificant in this universe. You and I are nothing. We are just specks of dust, and nothing we do is important, because the universe is so big and there's probably so many more Earths and so many more inhabitants that everything we do is a waste of time. And just that, promoting that helplessness and uselessness of humanity is, I think, anti-human. And it really creates a very depressed culture.
Yeah.
If you know that this is it, this is all there is. There's nowhere to go. Make the best of it, and be kind to each other.
That way, that might be so. But I also think
that changes your perspective.
Yeah, that's true. But one thing also I'm thinking about with this. I mean, if we're talking about the solar system, I'm been together with Simon looking into the different models that were around before. I mean, now we have the Copernican view, the heliocentric solar system, but there are other models from historically that are looking very interesting and makes even more sense than the Copernican system. But to me, that is the total different issue from the flat earth issue. I don't see that they are connected. I mean, you can question heliocentrism without questioning the shape of the Earth or that it's most likely round.
Well, one of the tests that I've done, and I'm not totally convinced that my evidence is proving one way or the other, is just looking for the curvature. If you take their numbers and plug them in, their curvature formula, it seems that we can see things that we shouldn't be able to see if there was a curve based on their numbers. And the fact that the official story is spouted by Neil deGrasse Tyson and other NASA apologists, the idea that they keep changing their position, for instance, going from a ball to an oblate spheroid, these changing positions to cover for their lies, that also causes huge problems. So really, like I said, my investigation is wide open. If I can't see curvature based on looking across what should be a completely flat terrain, in this case a lake, and all I see is flat, which is my sense, and it's contradicted by the official story that there should be a curve, there should be a bulge in the lake right in the middle, that blocks my view, then there's a problem there.
Yeah.
And always boil it down to simple things.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we could speculate around these things, but I don't want to go into the particular issue now of talking about if the shape of the Earth. But thank you so much, Ab, and this has been a great talk, and we went through everything, and you are an excellent radio voice, much better than
you.
We are, but we're trying.
Oh, I like hearing voices. I like hearing you guys talk. I wish I could understand Swedish, because I'd love to hear your take on a lot of these things. Although we've had you as guests on Fakeologist before, and most of the audience at Fakeologist knows you and your opinion, and you guys seem sincere, which is important. Because we know that what we research is infested with agents or people that are completely misled or confused by wrong or confusing ideas.
Yeah.
Don't forget that we have to look at the manual of psychological operations. This is a real thing. PSYOPs are a real instrument of war. And one of my favorite lines from their manual is, if you can't convince, confuse.
Mm.
For Sun Tzu, the ultimate warfare is made on deception.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything to avoid kinetic warfare, which is actual lead flying through the air and killing people, that is the goal of good warfare.
Yeah,
it's about controlling the minds of the masses, because you still have people running the guns and machines and so on, so you have to have them convinced that they are doing the right thing in their mind. So that's the most dangerous weapon I think they have.
Yes, mind control. Mind control doesn't really involve chemicals. It just involves words and thoughts, and in this last 100 years, images.
Yeah. Since we still have you online, how much time do you have? I think we should use it. This is very interesting, and I think it will be.
Yeah, I've got time. I'll tell you when I'm out of time.
I think I would like to continue. Another issue that's open for speculation is the one about the fossil fuels. And they are telling us that it's old animals that died and got down in the sediment of the ocean, and then they had a lot of pressure above them, and it turned them into oil. And I've heard some that might not be the case, that maybe fossil fuels is instead a mineral that's natural created in the earth, and it's therefore not an ending supply. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, well, now we're talking about dead dinosaurs, and that is somewhat linked to this whole story. Fossils, as in dinosaur bones that are decomposing, and since scarcity is the only way to increase prices. If you say something is not available, then it drives up the price. When if it's plentiful, like water and air, then really we can't increase the price other than distribute it. So therefore, I'm very suspicious of fossil fuels, oil in particular, and how plentiful and or can it regenerate. And if it is plentiful and can be regenerated quite easily, then we have a problem when we keep the price high. Because as we all know, the more something that is available, the cheaper it is. And definitely, it's another thing that we can't see. It's hidden from us. It's in faraway places often. And we can only go trusting those that we're suspicious of. So there's a good chance that fossil fuels or oil is just another controlled market where they use it as a tool to just control the population. And in this case, it's used to control our mobility. We're told we're free to go wherever we want, but we're always limited, of course, by the cost of moving around. And if they can, if they want to slow down the economy or make people literally go slower in their cars, they can just say that they can just raise the price of the fuel that makes us go around. And that definitely impacts how people move and get around. So right now, energy, I think, is fairly affordable, so people are moving around. But if they want to triple the price of the base, which is oil, they can literally make the economy go down. And why would they do that? Well, a lot of people think that if they can crash the economy, then the people with all the money can go ahead and buy it all back up at bargain basement prices. And then when they release the stranglehold on energy, which seems to be the basis of our economy, then all of a sudden they have all that much more money because everything, the value of everything they just bought at bottom basement prices goes back up. And that's how they make money. You have to make money on waves. You make money when things go up and down. You don't make money when things stay stagnant. But yeah, oil is an instrument. Energy is an instrument of control. If there is free energy or very cheap energy, then it changes all the equations of the economy.
Yeah,
really. If people don't struggle for food and water and shelter, then they have time to do other things and think about other things. And if they could literally free up a whole area of the world, like Africa, by giving them or showing them how to get free energy or nearly free energy, then instead of struggling to survive, they'll have time to speculate on other worldly problems, like where do we live? What is our position in the universe? Is there a universe? It just gives people more time to think. And the most dangerous part of any population is when they have too much time on their hands to think. That's a danger. Because thinking people can be dangerous.
Yeah, that's correct.
But I think oil and energy are all instruments of control. Really, I really do. I think we have unlimited electricity, unlimited energy. I think we, hold on.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
I think we have unlimited energy, and as such, it should be way cheaper than it is now. And again, if we don't have to pay electricity or gas bills that are taking up a big part of our income, which is our energy, our working energy, then we'd have more time for other things.
And I think you can see that here in Sweden as well, because the government is starting to tax solar energy. And
really?
They are marketing solar energy as really clean and cheap, and maybe it is. I don't know about the production, if it's but the idea to tax solar power, that should be the most clean energy source. That to me shows that they are not after the to have a clean environment. It's about control to raise the taxes. So that we have to work even more to pay our bills.
Yeah, I have solar power myself. I know it's real. I know it works. I can't tell you if it's clean or not, because obviously someone has to make the solar panels and they have to keep making them because they do break and break down, and they are made of material that can decompose like everything else on this earth. But they do work. I do think if they cut out the middleman and the distributor of anything, if you cut out the distributor and do it yourself, then there are real savings there. So if you have your own power and don't have to pay the distributor or the many middlemen, then that is cutting out a lot of money. That is a real issue.
Yeah.
The taxing, that's interesting. The one thing about Sweden, they're at the forefront of taxing people. I think they're the world leaders in taxation, which is literally a legalized form of confiscation, or if you want to call it stealing.
I think we're some kind of experimental people, that they are the elite are trying the new ideas on the Swedish people, since we are a very...
compliant.
Yeah, we think very highly of authorities, and we don't question them at a very high degree. So now I think we are at the forefront to move in a cashless society, and that's a little bit or much scarier to me, because then you can start to make it impossible for people like you and me to make a living. You can confiscate digital money in just a push of a button, and that's a really scary future, I think. And not many people here are very aware of that. They think it's very convenient that they don't have to move cash around, and so but they haven't in the way we are doing,
if it becomes a huge problem, people can just go back to basics and just start trading again. The trading is inconvenient. I can trade my horse for your bucket of apples. It's just inconvenient.
How does it work in Canada, Ab? Because here in Sweden, we hardly use cash anymore. Almost everything is by credit card.
Yeah, it's the same here.
Yeah.
This is one world we're living in. It's a homogenous world.
Yeah.
They just find different compliance levels from different areas. They literally try and stomp out any dissenting system, because it's just better to have one system where everyone's on the same program, and it just maximizes profits. Simple. They always look at eliminating competition, and if it's money or people that live in certain countries with different ideas that they want to keep more of their own wealth to themselves, those all go against the program, and they all are competition that has to get stomped out. So if any real leader emerges in any country, in any sector, with any popularity, they have to stamp it out. And I don't know if there's any real people that rise to any level before they get stomped out. They must be controlled and or eliminated. That's competition.
Yeah, I think so.
Again, it's a worldwide system. There's no difference between Canada and Sweden other than the level at which the program is advanced. Yeah. And you guys might be ahead of us in many ways. You might be 10 years, 20 years ahead. Whatever is happening there is probably going to happen here.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
too.
After all, we have IKEA here now. We've had it for a long time, but you had it first.
Yeah, that's network production company. I think IKEA, they have spread all over the world, and it started in Sweden.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can see here in Sweden also, especially in Gothenburg, that they are building everywhere, and the politicians, they are talking about densing the society, and that we need to have a growth of the economy. But it's actually contradictory, because nothing can grow forever. And the trend here is that they try to move the countryside population inside cities, and also together with a huge deal of immigration. So, body in great cities, and of course, it's creating a lot of problems. We deal with the problems at a daily basis here. So we don't think about the elite, and we are a lot ahead about implementing the United Nations Agenda 2030. And if you look at the plan, you see that the plan is to that everybody should live in highly controllable city areas and not be able to take care of themselves, because that's what the basis of life is to have your own piece of land where you can grow your own vegetable and have some animals, and that you are self-suppliant in a very high degree, and if you need something you could take it from the area close to you before you look at the other side of the world. Like you have apples here from New Zealand, the other side of the world, and it's growing a great deal of very delicious apples here in Sweden. So it's so horrendous how the world are turning out to be.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's definitely getting rid of self-sufficiency for sure, or nation sufficiency. The nation supplies its own food. It's just an integration that is only good for multinational corporations, which are just a power structure that's farther away from the people that they serve. Actually, it's just another form of control. Corporations, governments, corporations, when they merge, it's called fascism. Fascism isn't necessarily a German guy goose-stepping all around the place, putting people into camps. That's not really what fascism is. It's when corporations and government merge. And they're just interchangeable power structures.
Yeah, and as you said before, Ab, I think it's a fallacy to think about terms in of nations and different people. It's as you said, it's about the ones that got the stuff and the ones who don't, and they're working all together. Putin and Trump, and well, I mean, they are.
Yes, they work. They all work for the same elite. They all do. They all work together. You know, that's just something people can't get their head around. They just can't wrap their head around that, because it's never speculated in public. No one speculates about it except us.
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious, Ab. What are your thoughts about the future and so? I have children, and I've started thinking about things. I mean, how do you think things are going to play out in the coming decades?
Anything well, about that? I think some science fiction novels offer clues, like Brave New World. Yeah. I think it's less of a science fiction book and more of a blueprint. Have you read that book?
No, I haven't actually. I've started to read it, but I never was able to finish it. But I know the plot or synopsis.
Yeah, it's basically to create a technocratic society where society is run by experts in everything. So we already see it happening in EU, in the European Union, where you have technocrats that are far away from the people they rule over, making all decisions on minutiae, really. They literally have laws that they create to tell you how many feathers to put in a pillow. And everyone has to conform and comply because they've decided that's the best type of pillow for the most number of people. So it's all about managing the society down to a microscopic level. So every move that everyone makes, everything they consume, everything they learn, will be decided by experts. And that is where we are going, into a technocracy that will be controlled by the elite to their benefit. It'll be their technocrats making decisions that are best for them first and the people second.
Yeah. But do you think they're going to succeed? Because, I mean, there seems
they are already.
Are people in waking up now? And, I mean, thanks to your show and thanks to what Simon and Hoy are doing in Clues Forum, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think
I think there are. They're already succeeding.
Yeah?
They're succeeding everywhere. Fantastically.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I agree. But do you think there is, I mean, if more and more people are waking up and starting to see these lies, will there maybe a renaissance, you know, like after the Middle Ages when people understood that,
Well, I'm not sure people are getting any smarter. They have all this technology that they could use, and there isn't much use of it. I don't see enough people making use of it. So I'm not totally encouraged at the moment. I've been doing my show for 5 years. I do get the odd interloper come in and become part of the community that seems real and genuine, and I enjoy what they have to say, but I don't see any widespread awakening. And if there is an awakening, it's going to be totally steered away from our advantage. For instance, the whole idea of fakeology, it's just a term I coined really just to illustrate study of media fakery. But who comes along in the last couple of years? Donald Trump. He takes the word fakery and makes it to mean anything he disagrees with.
Yeah.
And he doesn't explain like we do what exactly the fakery is. And he's taken the word away from us, really, and used it to his advantage, his political advantage. And it's funny because when he came into power, many people contact me and say, aren't you happy you got someone who thinks everything's fake? And I said, well, I am and I'm not, because really he's not agreeing with anything that I promote. And he's just taken away my word and using it for himself. So he's actually probably going to do more harm than good.
Yeah. No, I mean, and he's fake himself, so that doesn't...
just an actor as well.
Yeah.
And people don't see that. They still don't get it, even though he is officially an actor listed in the actors database.
Donald Trump still
don't see that. Yes.
Yeah,
well, he was
I
on a show called he was on a television show called The Apprentice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you're in the media in Hollywood, you must join the Actors Union.
Oh. Yeah.
And you're automatically cataloged as an actor.
Mm. Yeah.
Ronald Reagan was an actor. He wasn't a good actor. He was considered what's called a B-grade actor. Isn't Bob.
But
he was an actor. And everyone knew it. Nobody thought twice about it. They just saw the similarities and the parallels between president and acting, and they thought he fit perfectly. They loved him.
Yeah.
He was kindly, he was old, looked like he was on our side. He was selling us all kinds of lies that were supposed to help us, but he was accepted.
Yeah.
So they tell us in plain sight what they're doing, and people accept it. People, they can grouse about it.
Mm.
And Donald Trump he's been really good at pitting the educated, I would say, against the not as educated in the United States. In other words, he's a hero to the little guy who doesn't have the highest education but is in the majority. And he's pitted him against the chattering classes, as I call them, the well-educated that think they're smarter than everybody else, doing whatever smart jobs they're doing. And he's really put them against each other. That's the real division that he has caused. Because every highly educated person I ever bump into just hates Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They hate him. They think he's a moron. He's stupid. Yeah. How could he be leader? But yet, I do think the vote was probably pretty accurate. Whereas most people at the bottom or near the bottom or the middle think he's great. But they don't control the media so much, so their message doesn't get out.
Mm.
So everyone thinks, oh, he must be terrible. But actually, most people support him. Not by most people, I'm just saying above 50%. It could be 52%. But because people are pretty divided down the middle, it's very down the middle.
Mm.
But again, we're just seeing a gap, a division between rich and poor, or more rich or more or less, or more rich and less poor kind of thing. But that is, he has created a perfect diversion, and he is excellent at controlling the message. And it's not just him. He has a team. People have to realize he's one person can't even think about all the issues, let alone deal with them. He is literally there to just distract from everything that goes on. Because government is so big and so widespread and so controlled by the companies that it serves that he is just a massive distraction. He's been one of the better distractions that has been put in that position. He's been fantastic. Yeah. He's a worldwide distraction. So really, he's really terrific for business because they can do real things while the clown show is going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be a good clown, he has to be very smart. You have to be very smart to be a good clown. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you do.
That's true. Very
true. He's very smart. He's definitely brought up in the culture. He was definitely groomed for this job. People think, well, how did they know he'd become president? Well, I'm not saying they knew he exactly would be president, because I guarantee they are grooming 500 clowns for the position at any one time. He's just the one that they put in. He captured the imagination better than the other clowns, and they put him in.
Yeah, and
they're always grooming these clowns.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's so easy to control the American election if you control the media. And you have these three scales. And if you see that, I mean, you have two major options. And if you see one option, the option you want is not getting enough votes, then you bring in a third candidate that takes away some from the option that you don't want.
Yeah, you can do that.
So I mean, it's pretty easy. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. They own all of them, so it doesn't matter who gets in.
No. But they're all beholden. Yeah.
Well, you know they wanted him. They put him in.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You don't have to wonder
about
it.
I'm also curious. I'm curious, Ab, about what drives you doing this fantastic work with your show, Fakeology. Do you want to wake people up so there can be some kind of change, or what is it that drives you doing this?
Well, again, it's just a hobby, and I enjoy it, and it's just fun to play with technology as well that we're given. I like doing that. Mm-hmm. I do like practicing public speaking because I think it's a lost art. I'm in no way that good at it, but good enough, I think, to hold an audience for a period of time. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I like to see if I can convince others in a small way, because I know it's very difficult. I don't have the tools that the media has to convince people. I can't blow things up and make things happen and stage events. I can't do any of that because that requires a military force. And therefore, I'm not naive and thinking that I'm going to change people's opinions, but I think I can influence people's opinions, maybe one person at a time. So I think I can be an influencer of some sort. And I think it is a bit of a blank slate now. I think there's been a bit of a reset in the media, in the sense that television and radio and all the old methods are being ignored by the new generation. And I'm hopeful that some of us have more of a level playing field right now. Right now, I'm not saying it's going to last forever, but right now we have a bit of a level playing field. So I enjoy the challenge of seeing if there's anything to be gained by this new media. And I just like being engaged with people, and I like challenging people that I run into. I've always liked challenging people and their ideas. I always ask them, where do you get your ideas and why do you think that way? For Fakeology, I've always tried to do what everyone else is doing. So if everyone's having a drink of this, I'll have a drink of that. Mm. So it's a bit of in your face that I like. I like people that are oppositional and contrarian and take the other point of view. Those are the things that drive me. But I'm not delusional.
No,
I don't think it's going to make a big difference.
Definitely helped me a lot, Ab, of looking at things in a totally different way.
I like to hear that. I like to get that feedback. That's great.
Yeah.
And I like anyone. Yeah, Martin.
Yeah, me too. I bumped into September Clues and Clues Forum, but it's a lot of text to go through. So, and I'm like you, I'm moving a lot. I take a walk in the park and so. So I think I like listening to audio, and you have done an excellent job. And it's very interesting to listen to you develop your thoughts about things in the world. And yeah, you helped me a lot. And I will try to pass it on to the Swedish audience that hopefully will be listening to this in a greater number, as we are trying to promote this radio channel a bit more. Right now we just have a few hundred listenings, but I have some plans how we can try to get it out to a greater audience after we have fixed a little bit with the sound quality.
I think everyone should use their voice and promote and realize they have a lot of power. Yeah. They have a lot of power. They have a lot of free tools, a lot of inexpensive tools. You can start your own radio station where you can stream your audios 24/7 live. Because the future is the internet as a communication device, so you could easily set that up. I think I use what's called an Icecast server. Icecast, I use a program. If you look at things Ab likes on the top of fakeologist.com, you can see all the things I'm using, and I use an Icecast server that if you go to fakeologist.com/radio2, I'm always broadcasting my shows to the world. Not very many people listen because they don't listen to streams as much, although Netflix is huge right now. Most people download the shows and listen on their device, so they don't have to be completely hooked up to the internet at all times, so they can just use it from their device. But we all have the tools. I think it's fabulous. I don't re-listen to my own shows, but I like listening to other people trying to create audios. And I'm still going through my 9-hour audio chat that I hardly spoke at all on, if at all. And I like hearing people being creative and speaking on Fakeology.
Yeah.
So I get excited when new people talk and make sense and are spreading the word. So I like that you guys are here and you're talking, and maybe you'll encourage somebody else. I know most Swedes speak English, so a great way to practice your English.
I think it's a
good country in that perspective if you're a foreigner. So you should come and visit Ab. Come on, fine. Everyone's
I'd love to. I'm going to wait till I know someone in every country in Europe and then just become a radio vagabond so I can just freeload off all Fakeologist listeners. I'll sell my house, sell my wife, and like Palais Bowl, and just travel the world and only talk or stop with Fakeologists. See if we can build a big enough network where we can have a Fakeologist bed and breakfast.
How much is she? Mm-hmm. How much is she, Ab?
She can't be. The price is too high for even me. I know. I get inspired by Palais Bowl, who I just listened to. By the way, I just put him in the iTunes feed. I noticed I didn't press the right button. He wasn't in the feed, but he kind of, if he's being honest, then it's funny that he just gave everything up and started wandering around the world and interviewing people. I actually found that kind of inspirational. It takes a lot of nerve to do that, just to stop everything and do that if it's true.
I was curious about listeners, Ab. Do you have any idea how many people that listens to your show? How much?
Well, I'm gonna say I'm gonna get up to 1,000 downloads where people download the audio. And, unfortunately, there is no way to determine who's listening. There's no one has a way to figure it out. And that is one of the big problems with monetization of the internet, that everyone is having a problem with, including people that blow lots of money on YouTube. Mm. And that's actually probably the real story behind it. Really, I can see the downloads. I can see the partial downloads. But even if someone downloads it, it doesn't mean they listen to it. It's the old,
exactly.
If a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? it's the same concept. So I always tell my listeners, the only way I know they're listening is send me an email on my contact page or make a small PayPal donation.
Yeah.
And if I see that, I know you're really listening. I see a small donation, and I'm only talking $1 a month. $1 a month is all it takes to keep people engaged. And I encourage everyone to ask for a small donation, because it really does keep people motivated, including you guys. There's nothing wrong with it. If you want to encourage people to do what they're doing and be independent, and it's not easy. And I salute all creators of all types, because I know how difficult it is to be motivated. I mean, just you guys getting this audio going, it's a task without professional equipment or professional engineers to help you do it. And just getting together or motivated to do it, it's not easy. It's so easy not to do things. I really salute all creators all over the world, YouTubers, audio people. It takes a lot of work. So throwing them coffee money should be automatic. And if 1,000 people throw you coffee money, that's not bad.
Yeah, we have to set up some kind of donation solution, but it's getting quite good as well. We have some other independent media. As a matter of fact, we have a quite big independent media, since original media is lying so much, but they are getting trouble with the banking solutions, so they are getting banned from PayPal and thrown out from SoundCloud and other platforms that supply where you can put up the sound so other can download it. So it's a terrifying picture.
It doesn't need to be terrifying. Listen, when you go into someone else's playground, you have to play by their rules. There are tools out there that don't appear controlled that you can make use of. And even if I can't get server space at all, if I'm denied server space by the entire world, as long as I can connect my computer to the internet, then people can get my audio. And most computers are connected to the internet that are desktop based. So there are programs out there. For instance, if you can't download my program, you can get it through what's called syncing programs. They don't need any space on the cloud at all. They are direct. There's one program I use called Resilio Sync, S-Y-N-C. You can just look it up, download it on your computer. It's free, and you can grab all the audios off my machine that I have shared. So there is no excuse for distribution. It of course, it's harder. It's less well-known. It's less widespread, but it still works. You do not have to be on other people's playgrounds.
Yeah, but you still have to use the global elite's financing system. And if they ban the possibility for people to donate money to you, you are getting...
That is true.
It's harder to...
That is true.
Audio.
No, that is true. I agree. But there are other alternative money systems, but I agree. The ultimate system of control is money. And if they control it, they don't care what you're saying, because they can keep you quiet. So I agree with that. It's tricky, but if your goal is not just to make lots of money, then you can still get your word out.
Yeah. I'm curious, Ab, do you have a lot of bit torrenting and illegal file downloading in Canada? Or, you know, like movies and such? A lot of people.
I don't know. I don't know. Netflix probably put a huge dent in that, because what they did is just lowered the price, so it's not convenient to file share. So I'm not gonna. I don't know. I have no idea. I know that if you're not tech savvy, you can't get too far.
Yeah. Now in Sweden, it's been very popular with the. There is a site called Pirate Bay with and the Swedish creators of that site, and there was a big. Pupula in the media, and there was a court case where they sued the creators of Pirate Bay for several millions for losses of movies. But
I have a different thoughts on that. I don't know if Pirate Bay is real. really controlled or really created by some rogue renegade. I don't know if the court case is real. I have a funny feeling that it's just an controlled opposition situation where quite possibly the media themselves control the site to promote alternative models. And it promotes their stuff as well, their material. Yeah. And it does, if they control the largest sites, then it hinders any innovation as well. The best way to limit the opposition is to control them. Yeah, this applies to business especially. So if you buy your competition or you create your competition, so no innovator is going to even try to compete with you, then that's the way to do it. So I'm not convinced. Google's famous for this. They'll find an area, they'll offer a free product and take away all the money out of the product. So competition evaporates. And then they'll either close their product that took the market or they'll monetize it.
Yeah.
And then they'll own the whole market they might not own it forever, but they'll own it long enough because business works in cycles too. They own it for 5 years. Then it'll take 5 years for someone to get going. Because any organization takes time to reassemble and be created. Just go kick over an anthill. It took those ants weeks to make their anthill. You kick it over, and they're in disarray for weeks. But eventually they get everything back together.
Yeah, we have this with Facebook now. I think it started to get popular in 2007 in Sweden, and then it was very popular and very free. You could post almost everything you wanted. Nothing got censored. But then I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, they started with advertisement, and then they have created those big censor houses in Germany. I think they sit and they remove everything they think is racist or so. And so more and more people I talk with, they are getting banned because of simple things that they are telling about the government, their wrongdoing and so on. So we are trying to look at new platforms, and a lot of people are migrating to Vkontakte. I think it's some kind of Russian site, but maybe it's a part of the control system that they want to control.
Well, yes. Well, as soon as the money gets involved and the people that pay the bills can... there's an old saying, whoever pays the piper calls the tune.
Yeah.
So whoever's paying can say what they want. And that's how YouTube, I think, started clamping down, because I think the money was coming in and there wasn't a lot of feedback about where the advertisers were being advertised on. And then when some of the channels were controversial, the advertisers just said, we're not paying for that. And then maybe it was just easier to shut the channel down than try and change the way ads were presented on the network. I don't know exactly how it worked, but the bottom line is the advertisers pretty much said where they want their money to go. And if it's not where they agree with, then those channels disappear. And if those channels are only there to make money, then they're going to disappear if they want to make money, because making videos takes a lot of effort too. If you're not getting paid, I don't see how you can do it, because everyone has to eat.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder how long YouTube will be so tolerant. Maybe it's not so tolerant now, but still they are allowing Simon Shacks and the Clues to be online, and our radio shows is not taken down yet. But I think they will do that in the future as the censor is getting more severe. But
it's possible. It's possible for sure.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Facebook, for example, that it's obviously very highly controlled and censored today, is that they're getting people used to censorship. They are weaning them into this, so we won't mind about it so much, but they have to do it gradually. So
maybe prepare us for what the bank will do to us in a quite near future, that you get some kind of message that you have a suspicious thing going on, and therefore they are closing you down. And if you try to contact them, it's like contacting some kind of wall.
I
think that's the future. We are seeing that kind of treatment of oppositional forces here in Sweden right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you see things maybe before we do.
Okay, but what do you say, Martin?
Yeah, I think it has been a good talk. Do you have anything you want to tell the Swedish audience, Abrato?
Well, I'll tell the Swedish audience that Martin and Patrick are at the forefront of fakery research, and you should support them in any way you can, and thank them for keeping them updated on worldwide fakery, because it may not happen all the time or often or in a big way in Sweden, but could in the future, and they need to be on guard for it and not to worry and not to submit to the fear that is purported all around the world, and just try and understand it instead of just assuming it without thinking about it. And you guys are doing good works and should be congratulated for spreading the word and hopefully educating people.
Yeah,
and that's what motivates me. If what you are doing is you're getting that the people show that they like what you are doing, that's what drives me.
Yeah, and we're not doing it for the money.
Oh.
Really, I know people might think not doing it for the money. We're doing it really
for a better future.
Enlightenment. Yeah, all we have is the future. The past is behind us. We can't do anything about it. We can only do it for the children, really. If you have children, like you said you did, and you want them to live in a better world. And part of a better world is not being worried all the time and depressed. Try and understand the system that we're in, controls it, how the methods of control, and realize that you can still be in the system but not stressed out about it. Because I don't think it's realistic to start your own system. It's just there's too much work. But if you can live in the system in somewhat peaceful ways by understanding the instruments of control, which are media and fear in the media. They work together. And if you understand how the media works, all levels, social, traditional, you understand that is the primary instrument. And all the people in the media, yes, they are in on it. Because if they didn't understand it when they went into it, they sure understood it once they were in. Definitely. They definitely understood what they're doing once they're in. And if they want to stay in, they have to follow the rules like any other corporation.
Yeah.
Therefore, they understand what they're doing. There's no doubt in my mind. It's like a doctor understands why people are sick. He can't really tell anybody because it doesn't do any good anyway. But once he's in, he understands. It's like any system. Once you're in it, you understand it. And actually, no one outside any system really could care less about it, how it works.
Yeah, and that's a point I would like to make there is that a lot of truthers, like David Icke, he has a background from the BBC, and he doesn't talk about those things that we do. So anyone who jumps off the media life and doesn't tell the things we are doing, you should be highly suspicious of those people.
Yes, because we know through September Clues that the media and its personalities are the main tools. It's them. It's not even the message. It's them. They're the ones participating in the lies.
Yeah.
They're the ones promoting them. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They are the problem.
Yeah. And disinformation is such a huge part of this. It's like you said, if you cannot convince, then you can confuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going on a lot.
Yeah. So that's what we try to contribute with our show. That's to try to high the level of information to the truth-seeking moments for those that have a true intention to seek the truth. Because I think there are a lot of those people out there that are trapped in some kind of rabbit hole that's put out there for them to go into.
Yeah, not everyone even knows.
We're doing the best we can. Thank you so much, Ab. And
All right.
Thank you for the great work you're doing. And
thank you.
It's a pleasure to listen to you on your show at fakeologist.com and this Fakeologist Discord channel you have. I encourage everyone to go in there and have a chat with people. And I mean, if you're Swedish, it's probably pretty easy because you speak English. So go ahead, everyone. And thank you so much, Abiratu, for taking the time to talk with us. And we went through a lot of interesting subjects and were able to pick your brilliant mind and thinking around
the
new cokes and the atom hoax and thank you
and
so much.
Yeah, we would be pleased to, if you do that tour, that you should definitely come to Gothenburg and have a talk here. And we're definitely interested in taking an interview with you again in the future as our podcast progresses.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah, sure. Swedish beer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So we wait for, since you are recording, we are waiting for your, the sound to come out at your side. The technique is not with us yet. Have a nice day then. And thanks to the listeners for listening to our show.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
Hi. This is Procyon. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.